is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, the author of a new book, the first of three volumes, The Political and Strategic History of the World. Conrad, a very good evening to you. I would be joyous, you routinely, except your column at the National Post this week is alarming. Apparently, some elements of the civil society in Canada are running away with the word genocide. What's happened? Good evening to you.
Yeah. Good evening to you, John. Well, I think you see the same phenomenon in the United States with these people accusing President Biden of genocide. I mean, he can be accused of lots of things, and any president, I guess, can be. But genocide, just because he is not in favor of expelling the Jews from Israel, this constitutes genocide? I mean, it's like these comparisons. We haven't descended to this in Canada yet, but who knows whether it awaits us. But these people in your country comparing Trump to Hitler. I mean, do they realize what they're doing? Do people realize what genocide is, where you set out to completely eliminate an entire race, ethnic group, or religious sect? It's just a preposterous misuse of the word. And Hitler, a man who did send 12 million people, half of them Jews, to the most horrible possible imaginable deaths for completely esoteric reasons in death camps, and plunged the whole world into war—a war in which approximately 60 million people died—and they're comparing Trump to that. Well, it cheapens history. It exploits popular ignorance of history, and it makes it seem like the most monstrous evils of the past are really things that half the people might vote for, and unfortunately we're getting a little bit of it here, and it's, you know, some of us try as best we can to uphold the meaning of words and the significance of historical events, but it's a distressing thing that we've become so intellectually undisciplined that people engage in wild hyperbole because they think public standards of education and general knowledge are so diminished that they can get away with it and make it an effective argument. I mean, to accuse as you say, in the context we're talking about here, to do with native people in this country. I mean, if there had been any attempt to commit genocide against them, there wouldn't be any left.
We come to Bill C-63, the Online Harms Act. And as I understand it, some of it makes sense, but not the part where you can, jail somebody forever?
You're right. You're absolutely right. In theory, for advocating genocide, people can be sentenced to prison for life. Now, let me be clear. Advocating genocide is a terrible thing. It should be discouraged. But threatening people with life imprisonment for that is just absurd.
Where did it come from, Conrad? We were speaking joyfully of your country for months and months. There seemed to have been a rapprochement after that unhappiness about the Freedom Convoy. You know, there was a calming down of sharp words.
Yeah, and a further calming down after the fact that is now generally admitted that the graves of the unmarked Native children aren't in fact graves of children and aren't unmarked. That settled things down too. And people seem to sort of catch their breath and have a little more respect for the normal meaning of words. But this one just came out of the blue. Now, in fairness, it's under debate, and precisely the point we're talking about has attracted a great deal of criticism. I think it will not be adopted in its present form. I'm hopeful of that anyway. But the very idea that people, apparently with the blessing of the government, would present such legislation is shocking. I mean, you can understand, for example, a highly overwrought youngish person saying, something that he meant to be just one step farther than a plague on your houses, and saying, well, you know, you're a crook, and your whole ethnic group are crooks, and you shouldn't be here, or something like that. It's an irrational thing to say, but it doesn't deserve a charge that could, in theory, lead to imprisonment for life. At some point, we have to allow for the excesses of people's moments of temper, or even absences of sensitivity, or knowledge, or even basic intelligence, and make penalties proportionate to the intended offense, not an accidental offense.
In our youth, there was the Nazis in Skokie, Illinois, the Skokie Affair, in which eventually, after court decisions, they marched. The neo-Nazis marched. And my understanding is that's where freedom of speech was in my country and in your country. Did that go away?
I agree. We had a man here for many years named Ernst Zundel, and he was an outright Nazi. And, obviously Nazism doesn't appeal to you or me or most of your listeners, but a person has a right to be a Nazi if they want to, I suppose. And so this man had to put a almost armor plate his house, like the side of a battleship. But his right to be a Nazi was defended. And his right to say that he thought Nazism had accomplished good things, that was defended. Only a handful of people in the whole country agreed with him, but his right to that opinion was defended. And we're talking about the same thing here. I mean, you get these extraordinary individual cases that test the patience of everybody, but rights don't only exist for those who are numerous. And if we enunciate a right of freedom of expression, we have to defend it. And in fairness, I think we still will. But all this talk about in this country what was supposedly done to the native people has cheapened and trivialized and facilitated the bandying about of the word genocide and other related words like racism and that sort of thing. As I said earlier, it's not the right argument to use, but if in fact there had ever been any official intention to eliminate all the natives, we would have eliminated them. But there never was. Nobody ever advocated that, ever. All anyone ever wanted to do was help them. Now, we didn't do a terribly good job of it much of the time, but there's never been any pocket of opinion in this country that wanted to practice any form of genocide against anybody. And Canada does have a very good record in all these things. You know, we received 40,000 fugitive slaves prior to the U.S. Civil War. We didn't want to provoke the U.S. government, but once people arrived in Canada, we accepted the right to cross the border and be treated equally.
Conrad Black is the author of The New Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1. I recommend, especially the part about the Romans. It's very witty. I'm John Batchelor.